So here's something that we pray each and every week. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, which kind of begs the question that I'd like to ask right off the top today. What or who leads you into temptation? And do you lead you into temptation? What or who leads you into temptation? And do you lead you into temptation? And when Jesus walked onto the pages of history, he came with an invitation that was open to everybody. And he said, follow me. And what he meant by that is, won't you allow me to lead you? Won't you allow me to lead you? And so to follow Jesus is to say yes to Jesus and eventually to say no to myself. It requires us to say yes to Jesus and no to myself. And what's interesting is over time, the church has shifted that the attention of the message of Christianity away from follow me to believe in me, to believe in me. And really, that's a lot easier, right? Just to kind of believe and, you know, I have to, you know, believe in me and just, you know, try to behave and be a good boy and good girl, and hopefully everything will work out. So it's no surprise that the most famous passage in all of Scripture is John 3:16. Whoever believes in him will not perish and have true life, which is, or eternal life, which is true. But there's another passage that Jesus actually said that is less popular, and that one is from Matthew 16:24, where Jesus says, whoever wants to be my follower must deny themselves. Find that on a tattoo, Matthew 16:24, or on a bumper sticker. It's a little less popular. Unfortunately, the message of Jesus was reduced down to simply believe in me, and the point is that you can believe, but not necessarily follow. That you can believe and simply be a consumer. And so if the idea of following is new to you, then this type of prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray may be new for you as well, even though we rehearse it most every Sunday. And so that's why we're asking the question in this series. It's a series where if you're here for the first time in a few weeks, you're coming in at the end of the movie. So I want to encourage you to go back and check out the earlier scenes because we're asking the question that the disciples asked of Jesus when they watched Jesus pray, when they watched and heard him pray, they thought, man, I think we're doing it wrong. And so they asked Jesus, hey, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach me to pray? And so far in this series, Jesus has taught us a few things about prayer. He said, when you pray, don't pray in order to impress others. In other words, don't pray with trying to find and form these big religious words, or don't just keep, you know, you're not rewarded for prayer that goes on and on and on and on. He said, that's not necessary. And part of the reason why that's not necessary is because your Heavenly Father knows what you need anyway. He knows what you need even before you ask. To which our response was, well, wait a minute. If God already knows what we need and what we're praying for before we even pray and ask, then why do we pray again? To which Jesus said, I'm glad you asked. Because the disciples, they wanted to know how to pray, but Jesus wanted them to know why that they need to pray. Why do we pray if God already knows our needs and wants? Well, according to Jesus, it's not simply to inform God of all of our wish lists and everything that we want. According to Jesus, the purpose and point of prayer is to align our wills to God's will, to align and realign our will to God's will, to surrender our will, not to impose our will. Which shouldn't come to a surprise either, because we're Jesus followers, not Jesus convincers. We're Jesus followers, not Jesus users. So Jesus said, this is how you are to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, that when we are to pray, first pause and understand who you're addressing. The God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the infinite God who is intimate with you as well. What a privilege. Pause before you get and go anywhere with prayer and recognize who you are coming face to face with. This is the God who has enabled everything in your life. And if you rush past that part, that sense of awe, then chances are you're going to resist the next part. The next part is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done right here, right now, on earth, in my life, not someday after I die somewhere in heaven. It's right now with all that I have and all of my resources, thy kingdom come. Pray, Jesus says, pray there, stay there until you kind of get there. Thy will, not my will, thy will be done. And then that's when Jesus pivots to give us, to which we say, finally, get to the good part. This is where I get to get stuff or ask for stuff. And so Jesus says, okay, when you get to the point where you need to ask, here's what I want you to pray for when it comes that time. Make sure you ask for provision, pardon, and protection. Provision, pardon, and protection. Today we're talking about protection, and here's how Jesus wanted us to word it. Lead us not into temptation. Maybe we need to personalize that. Lead me not into temptation. And the question is, and this is kind of hard, can you pray this? I mean, can you really pray this? Because if you're planning to lead yourself into temptation, it's kind of hard to pray this. Well, I mean, you can pray it, but it makes you and me a hypocrite. If you're making plans to be lead yourself into temptation, and then you say, but Lord, lead me not into temptation, well, that's kind of a disconnect. I mean, we pray, can we pray this? I mean, we pray for parking spots, we pray for good grades and safe travel. Can you pray this one, though? Now, the truth is, Jesus, when he asks you and me to pray this, he knows exactly what he's asking. Because according to the scripture that we read today, Jesus went through the kind of temptation that you're facing, which is pretty remarkable. The Hebrew writer wrote, we don't have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he didn't sin. Isn't that remarkable? That we have a Savior, that we have a God that knows exactly what it feels like to be tempted in every way, including the way that you're most tempted. That's the kind of God that we have. And in light of that, we can ask God to join us. He continues and says, so let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we can receive grace and mercy and help in our time of need. That is, in our time of temptation, which brings us back. Do you want mercy and grace for your time of temptation? Do you actually want to be delivered from temptation? Or do you play this game that we all play at some point somewhere in our life, or some temptation where we say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and sin, and then I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Aha! Because God has got a grace and mercy, so I can go ahead, wink, wink, and I'll just go ahead and sin, and I'll do the thing I want to do. I'll just ask for forgiveness. Now, that assumes the worst of our God. That assumes that God is a little oblivious, that God might be a little gullible, a little senile, and maybe just winks at our sin. Is that the kind of God we want to pray to? The good news is that God doesn't exist. God doesn't wink at our sins. It costs him too much. So Jesus says, when you pray, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Now, the term deliver is interesting because it literally means to rescue one from danger or to preserve. Now, one of the reasons why we lead ourselves into temptation is we just simply don't believe that we're leading ourselves any place that is dangerous. I mean, we lead ourselves into temptation, and then we ask God to deliver us from evil. We lead ourselves into temptation, and then we get in trouble, and then we feel burned or wounded or scarred or hurt or angry or upset. And then we go back to God and say, God, why did you lead us into temptation when we led ourselves into temptation? Or worse, God, I'm blaming you for what's going on, even though we know that we led ourselves into temptation. So this is a really, really important question. Who or why do you lead yourself into temptation? In other words, why do you lead yourself into temptation? When you lead yourself into temptation, you're leading yourself right to the threshold of regret. And isn't it true that there's a tendency for us to lead ourselves into the same temptation and into the same regret over and over again? It just seems like we lead ourselves into the same thing. So there's something that is beneath the surface that is happening. So what leads you into temptation, and why are you so prone to lead yourself there? Now, the usual suspects is, well, I do so maybe because I have a fear. Maybe it's a fear of missing out on something. Well, I have to go there because I heard other people talking about it, so it must be that I should lead a life of that is like that because I have a fear of missing out. Or maybe it's some kind of insecurity. I can't help myself. I just lead myself to a place where maybe I'm taken advantage of and I can't seem to get myself out of that. What is it that leads you? What's underneath the fact that you're leading yourself into temptation? And I can summarize. I'm going to try to summarize up with two words that lead us into temptation. Self-protection and gratification. Think about it. When we take our lead from these two rogues, things don't ultimately go very well. I mean, what happens? First, our lives tend to center on ourselves, and as important as protection and gratification might be, what happens is these are like two appetites, and as you know, our appetites are never fully and finally realized. They just lead us to a place where they grow. So our appetites, once you satisfy an appetite, it simply grows bigger, and which means that you're going to have to consume more. So you want more and more and more. And so these two words, they lead you to a place where they're not going to save you. They're not going to lift a finger where they lead you when it comes to evil. And you all know this. You have memories. I mean, we all have the scars and the wounds to be able to realize that, man, if we just allow ourselves to lead ourselves, those appetites won't ever be satisfied. And eventually it'll lead us to the question that poets and songwriters and philosophers have always asked. Why am I here? Why am I here? Because we lead ourselves into this cycle, and we're consuming, or we're leading, and we go round and around and around. Eventually, we ask the question, why am I here? I need to know why I am here so that I know why I'm here. The better question is, who are you here for? That's the Jesus question. That's thy kingdom come question. Who am I here for? And it, you ask that question, and a whole new world is opened to you and to me. Following Jesus is following a better leader, a better Lord than those other two. It's the alternative to being led into temptation. The path that leads you away from temptation is saying yes to Jesus. I will follow you. Not just believe something. Not just believe. A faith that doesn't do things, a faith that doesn't accomplish anything, according to Jesus, isn't really a faith that is, you know, a good faith. Because Jesus, what did he say? He said, for those who hear my words and don't put it into actions, like somebody building their house on sand, it's just erodes. So he says to you and me, come on, follow me right now, here on earth, not someday in heaven. And yes, following Jesus means that we are to surrender, but the promise is I won't lead you into temptation. I will lead you to look beyond yourself. I will lead you to do for others what I have done for you, and that is where true life exists. And I think it's amazing how Jesus just communicated this and simplified everything. He said, if you're ready, then here's where I want to lead you. I'm going to lead you here. As I have loved you, I want you, therefore, to love one another. That's what following Jesus looks like and feels like and behaves like. That's where following Jesus will take us, not into temptation. The opposite of temptation is not heaven. The opposite of temptation is love. It's love. So can you pray that beyond Sunday? With your heart, mind, and soul, lead me not. Deliver me. The assumption is you've decided to follow. You've actually surrendered your will to thy will. Can you pray that? Will you pray that? And if that creates some tension for you, stay there and ask God to help you work through why that prayer is difficult for you. And isn't it time to admit that leading ourselves doesn't get us where we want to go anyway? Come on, Jesus says, I know that. I know temptation is a threshold to loss. So Jesus says, God says, I love you. I want to lead you to the threshold of life. Because it's an invitation to put others first and attuning your life to the God of life. And so if we were to kind of wrap this series up, you know, this Jesus prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a pattern. It simply represents a posture and perspective that we are to adopt when we, and to reestablish who we are in Christ. It's a call to surrender our lives, thy will be done. It doesn't mean we can't ask for anything and everything we want to ask, because Paul says, yes, cast all of your cares and concerns onto God at the foot of the cross. Cast all, because God cares. Cast all your concerns at the foot of the cross, but do it after you surrender. Do it after you've decided that the Lord has the right to rule your life. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, even though my prayer, my request might not get answered the way I want it to get answered. I surrender to you. I'm going to follow no matter what. So let's summarize again the prayer. Jesus says, here's how I want you to pray. Address God as Father, perfect Father. And if you have a problem with that terminology, because that has some baggage for you in particular, then you take what that baggage is and you bring it to God in prayer. So address God as the perfect Father. Declare his greatness. Surrender your will and acknowledge your dependence on provision and pardon and protection. And the amazing thing is, according to Jesus, your unseen Father will see you pray. And your unseen Father will hear your prayers. And when he sees you and hears you, Jesus makes this amazing promise that somehow God will reward you as well. This then is how we should pray. Pray until we're surrendered. Pray until we get there. And if you're not there yet, stay there until you get there. Because it's only when you're surrendered that you become a follower of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you draw us to places that make us feel uncomfortable. And yet, it's only we know somewhere in our head that we're not supposed to ask for life to be easy, but we certainly have a tough time asking life to be uncomfortable. So will you be intentional and yet merciful that you might help us take the next step into a space that feels more uncertain? Thy will be done, not my will. Even though I know my will is right, Lord, I'm going to pray, Thy will be done. More than what I believe about myself, Lord, I believe and have confidence that You, the Creator of the universe, has the power to transform my life. So therefore, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.